Friends, it's my privilege today to be looking with you at the final section of Romans. Well done, congratulations, you've made it through 32 weeks of it. So let's pray and ask God for his help before we begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we reflect on this last bit of Romans, that you would speak to us, help us to heed Paul's warning and to stick to the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably heard of the song, In Christ Alone, a song of love, a song that we sing here at Reservoir Presbyterian. Well, a couple of years ago, there was a bit of controversy over this song, because one church, in the Presbyterian Church of USA, they wanted to change the lyrics to this song. They wanted to change the line that says, "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." You know what they wanted to change it to? "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God, the love of God was magnified. The love of God was magnified." For many people, and for some churches even, talking about God's anger is uncomfortable. It's much easier, isn't it? Much nicer, much more socially acceptable to talk about God's love. But the original authors of the song, Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, well, they insisted on keeping the lyrics. And this actually showed how serious this was to them, doesn't it? Because if you change the words, you lose something of the gospel. But we lose something of our understanding about what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. And it makes you wonder about this whole situation. How did they get into that position in the first place? Was it the elders or the minister or the music team that wanted to change the lyrics? How does a church lose their way like this? A church that was once true to the gospel, true to the teaching of the Bible, but then lost its way. And some of you might have experienced this in a previous church. Not with a change of lyrics to a song, not with an emphasis on God's love apart from his anger, but maybe in something else. Maybe it's a different understanding of the Bible as God's sufficient word for us. Or maybe a different understanding of what it means to be a Christian. So as a church here at Reservoir, how do we make sure that we don't lose our way, that we don't give in to false teaching, that we remain true to the gospel? Well, that's what we see in today's passage in Romans, because Paul tells us what we need to do. And that's two things. First, he tells us to stay alert. And second, to stick to Jesus, stick to the gospel. So first, Paul wants the Romans to stay alert, to watch out for those who cause divisions. The reality is that churches are full of sinners. When you have sinners together, there's conflict. Divisions can happen for various reasons. But notice here that Paul says these divisions are caused by false teaching. It reminds me of the minister I used to work for in Sydney, back around nearly 20 years ago when he just started at this church. He preached the gospel. He called people to repentance and faith in Jesus. But some of the elders of the church, they didn't like what he was doing. They didn't want him to preach the gospel. So they charged him with heresy for not being Presbyterian. They tried to divide the church over their false teaching. See, Paul says there may be certain people with their own agenda, just like these elders at my minister's church, with their own theological agenda, who cause division. Now, in this passage, we don't know who exactly Paul was talking about. But from the context of the early church, and what we know from Paul's other letters, his letter to the Galatians, his letter to the Colossians, it was probably a group called the Judaizers. The Judaizers wanted people who were not Jews, Gentiles, to do all sorts of Jewish things to become Christians, to become God's people. But ultimately, Paul said that these people were preaching a different gospel, because it's all about faith in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus that makes someone a Christian. So Paul tells the Romans, stay away from them. Have a look with me from chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. A people who preach something different to the gospel and cause divisions. Paul tells the Romans, stay away from them. And he gives us two specific reasons. Firstly, these people, they're not serving Jesus. They're serving themselves. Literally, they're serving their own bellies. I think of people like Benny Hinn, the famous televangelist, who, known for his miracle crusades and his belief that God has anointed him with a specific power to carry out supernatural healings. Or think of Joel Osteen, who preaches that God wants Christians to prosper financially, to have plenty of money, to have health and wealth. These people, they're not serving Christ, are they? They're serving themselves. And not only that, the second thing is, they're shrewd and they're cunning. You know, the Benny Hinns and the Joel Osteens, they draw crowds. Millions flock to their churches and events. They pack out stadiums with their smooth talk and charisma. But ultimately, they lead the naive astray. They deceive people with their lies. They deceive people with their false teaching. You can see it there in verse 18. Verse 18. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. So Paul wants them to stay away from these people, because they're not serving Christ, but themselves. And the good news is, these Roman Christians, they haven't been sucked into these false teachers. In fact, they've been obedient to the gospel. They're the model church. Their obedience has been seen, heard by other Christians around. But Paul, still, he wants them to be cautious. He wants them to be wise to what is good. He wants them to know what is good, do what's good, pursue the truth. But he also wants them to be innocent to evil, to keep their distance from evil, to not be intoxicated by it. It's a bit like this. It's like what Zoe and I have been trying to teach our kids. We're trying to teach them as they're getting older that there is evil in the world. That there are people around who want to harm them. That they need to be careful when strangers come up to them and talk to them in the park or offer them a lolly or offer them a ride somewhere. We're trying to teach them without fully exposing them to the evil in the world. You know, we want them to stay innocent to this stuff. But we don't want them to be naive and caught out. We want them to be sort of street smart, not gullible. That's what Paul wants for the Romans. He wants them to be street smart. It's like what Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out on mission. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. It's the same sort of idea. Paul wants them to be street smart. Not gullible, not naive. Verse 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So Paul wants them to stay alert, to be on guard, to not get caught out. Because these false teachers, these people are serving themselves. But the great news is that this won't happen forever. These false teachers will be stopped once and for all. Paul's promise is certain. God will stop them. God will stop Satan, who's behind all this. Verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So you can see how Paul wants the Romans to stay alert, to not get sucked into these false teachers. But Paul doesn't just want them to stay alert. The second thing Paul tells them to do is to stick to Jesus, to stick to the gospel. Now, that's why Paul ends with this point of praise. He praises God for the gospel. He praises God for Jesus. You see, this is what the Romans needed to stay alert. They needed to be established in the gospel. The original is actually stronger than that. It's being strengthened by the gospel. You see what Paul's saying to them? If they want to be discerning, if they want to be shrewd as a snake and innocent like a dove, they've got to be grounded, established, strengthened in this gospel. This gospel, which was there in the Old Testament times, in the writings of the prophets, but hidden, and now has been fully revealed when Jesus came. And you see, this shows that the Christian gospel is the genuine one. It was there long before Muhammad began Islam. It was there long before the Jehovah's Witnesses were formed in the 1870s. It was long before Joseph Smith founded Mormonism. And it's a fulfillment. It's all of its fulfillment is seen in Jesus. To rescue sinners in God's grand plan for humanity, so that everyone, all nations, would come to the knowledge of God and trust in Him. Paul wants them to be firm in the gospel which has saved them. Look with me from verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So can you see that Paul wants them first to stay alert and second to stick to the gospel which has saved them. So can you see what's here in this passage today? In these final verses of Romans, Paul warns the Romans. Paul wants the Romans to stay alert, to be on guard, to watch out for people who cause divisions with their false teaching. People who are teaching something other than the true gospel. The Romans need to stay alert. They need to stick to Jesus. They need to stick to the gospel which has saved them. Friends, history has shown that there's going to be false teachers around. There's examples of false teachers in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, even in the early church. People who've denied that Jesus is God, like Arius in the 4th century. Or people who've denied that Jesus was fully man, like Eutyches in the 5th century. People will try to distort the truth of the gospel. And so friends, we need to make sure that we're alert. And so the first thing we need to do is make sure we understand the gospel ourselves. Make sure that we understand the truth of the gospel. That we're saved by grace. That we're saved through faith in Jesus. And so this means we need to know our Bibles well. We need to read our Bibles. We don't have to be experts like Don Carson or Tim Keller. But it's important for us to be equipped in understanding the fundamentals of Christianity. So that we're not easily swayed into the next big idea. So that when the Mormon or Jehovah's Witness comes knocking at our doors, we're grounded in the gospel so that we're not easily swayed by their lofty arguments. So that when you're at university and people tell you that faith in Jesus, well, that's not enough to become a Christian. You have to speak in tongues or you have to have some sort of vision or something random like that. Well, you know that what they're saying is not true. Friends, there's too much at stake, isn't there? Salvation is on the line. There's only one gospel that has the power to save. And so we need to know the gospel inside out. It's like the bank tellers who are trained in knowing how to detect counterfeit money. They're trained to touch and feel the money. They're trained to tilt it, look at it through different angles and look through it. So that as soon as they pick one up, they can tell if it's fake or real. Friends, this is what we need to be like. We need to understand the gospel so well that we can tell a fake straight away. That's the first point. Make sure we know and understand the gospel. The second thing we can do to be alert is to be cautious. We don't want to be naive. We don't want to be surprised that many people don't stick to the gospel, that many people don't actually stick to what's taught in the Bible. I was reading an article the other day. Apparently in the Church of England, around a third of the clergy don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. I was reading another article of a Church of Scotland minister who told his congregation that it was ghastly theology to believe that Jesus Christ died for sinners. You see, just because someone has the title of doctor or reverend, doesn't mean we can just blindly believe everything they say. We still need to be discerning. We need to check what they say that it matches with the Bible. That's why here at Reservoir, every week we try to go through the Bible verse by verse so that you can check what we're saying from the Bible. That's why it's important to do Bible study together so we can all learn from each other. But most important, make sure that what we're learning is what God is teaching us through His Word. That's the second thing. We need to be cautious. And the final thing, we need to check our own hearts. Because you see, that's the place where we're going to be most susceptible to false teaching. And that's what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy. Remember when he says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." It's a great image, isn't it? Itching ears. What are our itching ears wanting to hear? You see what Paul's saying here? People will be sucked into what they want to hear. They will follow teachers who teach them what they want to hear, what they're itching to hear. So friends, we've got to check our own hearts. We've got to check our own motives. What are we most susceptible to? Well, in today's climate, maybe it's more of an easygoing gospel. A gospel that doesn't make us look old-fashioned in the world's eyes, that makes us more likeable, that makes us fit in so that we don't look like the world's enemies, that makes us fit in with people at work or at university. Maybe a gospel that fits more in line with the lyrics that Presbyterian church in the USA wanted to change. A social gospel that talks more about God's love than God's anger. So friends, we need to check our hearts. What are we most susceptible to? Well, maybe it's something like this. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sundays, but I just wish if God just left me alone for the rest of the week. You know, I just want to do my own thing. I want to enjoy my life. You know the song Rock of Ages? It's not "nothing in my hand I bring, simply to this cross I cling." It's more like "many things in my hand I bring, simply to this world I cling." Maybe it's more of a half-baked gospel. A gospel that allows me to live in one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. Friends, we've got to check our hearts, don't we? Because what our hearts desire most, that's where we're going to be most susceptible to false teaching. But you know what? The good news is that we have the true gospel. The gospel that God has given to us. The gospel which has the power to save. The good news is that God will have His victory over Satan once and for all. No more lies. No more false teaching. So let's make sure we stay alert. Let's make sure we stay faithful to God's word. In 2002, the Anglican Diocese of New Westminster in Canada endorsed same-sex unions. And they forced all the churches to take on their false teaching. Four churches out of about 50 didn't give in. They stayed faithful to God's word. They stayed faithful to the gospel. And so what happened was that all their accounts were frozen. Their properties were taken from them. And one such church was St. John's, Vancouver. They lost their $20 million property, and now they meet down the road in a Seventh-day Adventist building. Friends, like St. John's, Vancouver, let's make sure we stand firm in the gospel, whatever the cost, and wait for the day when Jesus will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel that you've given to us. Thank you helping us by your Spirit. Father, help us to be discerning. Help us to be wise to what is good. Help us to watch our own hearts so that we won't be susceptible to false teaching. We pray that we would stay firm and established in this gospel, relying on Jesus as our Lord and Savior until He comes again. And it's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.